There is no free lunch when it comes to investing, but what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to The Free Lunch, hosted by Canvas Wealth. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty. Learn more and subscribe today at canvaswealth.ca.
Welcome back to The Free Lunch Podcast with today, Colin and Karen.
Hello.
Karen, it is lovely to be back here with you.
As always.
As always. I did have to sit through a couple of recordings with Mr. Greg Kraminsky.
The OG,
yeah, which was fun. And I know he plans on coming and doing some more recordings with us over time, which is great. It's always great to be able to go back to the people that you trust and that know stuff, right? Like being OG means you know stuff.
It does.
Right?
If you've got street cred.
You got street cred. It's like when your kids ask you things and you just know, right? And they're like, how do you know that? And they don't believe that you know it, first of all, right?
Yeah.
But you do. You just know it.
You just know it. Comes in really handy when you're doing crossword puzzles.
I don't do any crossword puzzles. Do you do crossword puzzles?
Martina and I were doing one the other day and she was like, what's this? I'm like, boom. What's this? Boom.
Really?
Yeah. And then she was like, whoa.
Do you do Sudoku as well?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
Yep. That's how I relax.
Really?
Yep.
What about Wordle?
And not so much anymore.
No?
Yeah. Too much hype. What about you?
No crosswords.
No.
No Sudoku.
No.
No Wordle. No.
Just watch the markets.
Watch markets. I watch the Dodgers.
Yes.
I watch sports. I play golf. So I guess I do Sudoku in that I fill out a scorecard in my golf game, which is just random numbers.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Anyways, enough of that. But speaking of just knowing things, today we're going to talk about the 12 steps to better investing because this is something that we just know.
Yes.
Right. And I don't know about you, but I've had a number of frustrating conversations lately with people that want to tell me how the market works. And I just know they're wrong.
Right.
Right. So when people come to you with those conversations, and I know I'm taking us off script, how do you answer that question?
I ask questions. I try and find out where they're coming from, where they're getting their information from, because understanding that can lead that conversation down a much more progressive pathway than coming at them saying, well, actually, no.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how I do it. I have teenagers at home, so I live many of my days doing that, asking questions to try and understand what the heck is going on in their heads.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that?
Exactly.
I'm just joking.
Well played.
Okay. Well, we're here today to make sense of money as much as possible, markets, and financial decision making. And we're not here with a sales pitch, although am I recommending that people come check us out at Canvas Wealth?
Absolutely.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Right.
We're very good at our jobs. That's just a little bit of self-promotion. But anyways, this 12 steps. So I'm going to tell you that the first time I was introduced to this 12 steps was from a company called IFA.com and this guy named Mark Hebner. Mm-hmm. And I've had the chance to get to know Mark over the years, which is great. He gave us actually something that's in the office. I don't know if you know that. You know, that probability distribution.
Oh, yes. Thing? I love that.
That was a gift from him a couple of years ago. But
Galston?
I can't remember what it's called. I'd say we put it in the show notes, but we don't have show notes.
Right.
So just trust us that we have a probability distribution fun game.
And it's a lot of fun.
It's a little addicting.
It is.
Yeah. But it's when we look at evidence-based investing, it's kind of like a recovery program for people addicted to stock tips. And we're surrounded by those people. Things like market predictions, mm-hmm. chasing fads, like meme stocks. Mm-hmm. And we all know someone who has bought things like tech stocks, or maybe it's cryptocurrency, or something that's fad related, right?
They're trying to jump on the train and the train has already left the station.
Yeah. So I was golfing a few weeks ago. I think I might have told this story with some guy named Rick. Rick is a nice guy. Rick's an electrician. Rick went on to tell me that I was doing a disservice if I was not buying the cryptocurrency XRP for all of my clients.
Wow.
And I felt like saying to Rick, let's just assume that you know way more about being an electrician than I'll ever know. And let's also assume that I know way more about markets than you'll ever know. But instead, I just finished the golf game and we went on our separate ways.
There you go.
Yeah. So why don't we get into these 12 steps of investing? I think I've just blown through your talking points, but that's okay. We'll pick it up. We'll get better at this.
Let's start with step one.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. So step one, embrace market pricing. So I think it's fair to say that most people should agree that markets are incredibly efficient.
Yes.
Right? Things are priced based off of all of the news that's available for those items at that time. And so if we look at some statistics, just a couple of years ago, over 124 trillion US dollars was traded across global exchanges. And that's thousands of companies and millions of investors constantly reacting to news, earnings, inflation reports, and of course, geopolitical events in real time.
Yeah. And the thing to really focus on there is the real time, right? Because once news hits, it's already old news. And when you're buying or selling stock, you're not going up against any type of amateur necessarily. You're going up against institutional investors, AI-driven algorithms, and analysts who have the same information that you do. The price reflects all known information, right?
Absolutely. The price has to. For every seller, there's a buyer. For every buyer, there's a seller. And each of them are making a decision based off the information available to each of them at the time. So the idea that you can outguess the market on a consistent basis is just not possible. I would call it, it's impossible.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, or let's just agree that it's highly improbable, right?
It's even better. Let's dive into that. Don't try and outguess the market, right? Now let's look at these active managers. So according to SPIVA, which is the S&P indexes, it's a statistical, help me out here.
I think they measure active funds versus indices and whether or not they provided any value.
Thank you. I know we had been talking about this before. I don't know why it just went, woo,
that's late
gone. It is. But so according to this, 92% of Canadian equity fund managers underperformed the S&P TSX composite over the past 10 years.
92% is a big number.
Yeah, it's really close to 100.
Yeah, so only 8%. Mm-hmm. So you got to be really good at picking the right active manager if that's your shtick, right? And it's not just Canada. In the US, of course, similar numbers. SPIVA reported 85% of large cap fund managers did not beat the S&P 500 over the same period. And you could look at that same pattern in any market, whether it's Asia, Europe, emerging markets, it's the same pattern.
Yeah. And when someone says, my guy can beat the markets, odds are they can't. Or if they do for a while, it's just luck. It's not skill. And this, you and I have had this conversation before about some of the brokers that we've worked with in the past, you know, based here in Calgary, thinking that they can outperform these fund managers that have every opportunity and device at their fingertips. And why would they think that they're better?
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that.
No.
Because we do not think that they can do that.
No.
Right? And it's not just us. It's obviously, as you can see from the data shows that it's just not really a great way of being, right?
Agreed.
It was terrible.
I know. We're both just, yeah.
It's the end of a day. So
step off the floor.
Okay. So that was step two. So step three, resist chasing past performance. So this one is definitely a behavioral trap. People love buying yesterday's winners, but the research from Morningstar shows that investor returns, what real people actually earn, are most times lower than fund returns. So I guess the question is why? Because we tend to buy high and sell low. And some of that is that fear of missing out. You know, you see things going up in price, whether it's a house or a car or cryptocurrency or whatever, right? You get this fear of missing out. And so people tend to buy at the high.
I've got an excellent example of this and one that we've talked about before, ARK Innovation ETF in 2021. And this was Cathie Wood, massive inflows. And after it had a great, massive inflows in 2021. And that's because in 2020, it had been amazing, right?
Right.
But by the time that people piled in, returns had already peaked.
Yeah. And that fund itself was very tech heavy, very concentrated. just happened to be tech heavy during COVID and work from home measures. So it's invested in things like DocuSign and things that just had a lot of uptick because of changes that nobody could have predicted.
Right. There was lots of momentum.
Lots of momentum. And it had nothing to do with
skill.
No, there's no skill there. Because the outflows that have happened is because that fund has grossly underperformed since, right? So past performance is not a guarantee of future results. I think everybody gets that. Or if they don't, let me say it again. Don't bank on past performance because it's practically a guarantee of nothing.
Right. Step four, let's let the markets work for you. Because here's the good news. You don't have to outguess the market to succeed. If we take a look at the last 100 years, U.S. stocks have returned about 10% annually on average. Mm-hmm. In Canada, TSX has averaged around 9% per year over the past 50 years. And that's not bad.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good.
It's great.
Yeah. Imagine it, okay, if we said, hey, you're going to get 9 to 10% per year for the next 50 years. Awesome. Nobody's going to be like, oh, no, that's not enough, right?
Right.
Yeah. But the frustrating part I find right now is that the Canadian market is doing quite well currently because of things like war and the price of oil. And so now we've had some people calling in and saying, why aren't I invested in more Canadian oil and gas types of positions, right? Mm-hmm. So I find that frustrating because those companies, when they were putting together their you know business plans for the year, did not say, well, you know, with the upcoming Israeli-Iranian conflict, the price of crude is going to go up 8% or whatever, right? So anyway, so those 50 years includes recessions, wars, political upheaval, even pandemics, and the market has just rewarded long-term investors.
Yes, and you have to stay invested to get those returns, which takes us to step number five. Do you want to take it away?
You betcha. Step five, consider the drivers of returns. So I guess the question is, what actually drives returns? And there's some pretty smart dudes out there named Eugene Fama and Ken French who identified key factors. And they created something called the Fama-French factor model. And what they looked at was market beta, size, value, and later they added in profitability and investment. So exposure to these factors explains up to 90% of a portfolio's variation.
Right. So instead of betting on these individual stocks, we should be focusing on being diversified across these particular drivers of long-term returns.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So because, you know, it's too easy to say, well, my friend bought deep out of the money calls on fill in the blank of the company. I don't know if that's going to work or not, you know, but I think that these factors of return have been proven to work, right? Okay, so step six.
Oh, that's mine, isn't it?
That's you, yeah.
Practice smart diversification. This is something we talk about all the time because well-diversified portfolio includes exposure to thousands of companies all across the world. And here at Canvas Wealth, we build these globally diversified portfolios that often include 10,000 plus securities, and that's across 40 or more countries.
Yeah, and I guess the question would be why, right? You know, why own 10,000 plus securities? And it's because this type of diversification simply reduces risk without necessarily sacrificing return. And I think that's what people want, right? They want to have less risk and higher expected returns, right? So it smooths the ride and protects against local downturns.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And let's not forget about the importance of bonds, whether it's short-term, global, high-quality bonds help manage volatility, especially in those retirement portfolios.
For sure. I mean, they provide things like income, like fixed income. That's why they're called fixed income, right? Like when you buy a bond, somebody pays you interest. Okay. Step seven, avoid market timing. So this one comes up all of the time.
All the time.
I think most questions we get are some form of market timing question, right? So it is one of the most tempting and damaging mistakes. And there's a lot of data out there that says, well, if you just miss the 10 best days in the market over 20 years, it'll cut your return by as much as half.
Yeah.
That's huge. 10 days out of 20 years is not much, right?
You'd have to, you'd be kicking yourself if that happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we had an employee that missed 52 days of work 1 year So over 1 year is a lot, but I guess if it was 52 days over 10 years, it wouldn't have been that much.
Right. And even if you think about Liberation Day, April 2nd, and what happened in the markets, if you had literally gone to sleep on April 1st and woke up a month or two later, you would not know that all of that turmoil had happened, right?
I think that's called a coma. But yes, if you were in a coma for a month.
We're glad everyone's safe and sound.
Yeah.
Best days often happen right after the worst ones, right?
Yeah.
Think about March 2020. It was brutal.
Yep.
But April 2020, one of the best months on record.
Yeah. And so we've been through a few of these cycles, like whether it's the global financial crisis or COVID or Trump tariffs or whatever. If you jumped out during a short-term crash and you didn't get back in, well, you missed the rebound.
Yeah.
And that's... you can't recover from that quite easily.
No. And this is where it gets really tricky. And this is step number 8. You have to try and manage your emotions. And this, hey, our brains are not wired for investing. Mm-hmm. Behavioral finance shows that loss aversion, overconfidence, and even the herd mentality that so many investors display, it costs real money.
Yeah, for sure. And in the States, there's been some data on this. There's a research data company, Dalbar, and they showed that over the last 20 years, the average U.S. equity investor earned only about 4% per year, which you already pointed out that the market returned 9 to 10% per year. So why? Why is there this delta? Why, you know, if the investors had just stayed invested, they would have earned more than double. But instead, because of things like loss aversion, overconfidence, et cetera, they made emotional decisions that didn't work out.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why it's so important to have a good advisor, because when we're dealing with clients, we're part coach, part guide, and sometimes even part therapist.
Exactly. Especially if you're just coming out of a coma, trying to figure out what happened in the world. Yeah. So we need to look beyond the headlines, which is step 9. This is a big one. Financial media is a big deal. Right? It triggers emotions and it does not provide good guidance. So there's lots of examples of this that we've gone through. You know, there's a reason why when the market's down, I don't know, 1%, the headline says market crashes and the market goes up 1% and there's really no headline, right? So this is a big deal. We see it all the time. Things like US debt ceiling is one that comes up quite frequently. I mean, it's kind of a funny headline to me because the U.S. is one of the only countries in the world that has a debt ceiling, yet the two political parties use it as a way of leverage against each other, which then always creates this chaos in the U.S. Anyways, that's enough of that.
Well, and you have a point, right? Because if you take a look at any of the geopolitical crises, things that are happening that are impacting large amounts of people, different countries, different policies, et cetera, It does a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Like it impacts people and it causes them to feel a lot of emotion in the moment. But if you just wait a few months, maybe 6 months, markets often recover. Mm-hmm. And long-term investors who stayed the course ended up ahead. Do you recall any conversations with clients around April 3rd, April 4th and telling them to just...
like, go do something that brings you happiness,
right?
And ignore what's happening in the market. For sure. We have those conversations when those things happen. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if it bothers you to look at it, don't look at it.
Turn off the news.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be better 3 hours later when you look at it again.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. What about step 10?
Focus on what you can control, because you can't control inflation or the next recession, but you can control how often you're saving, how much you're spending, and how much risk you're comfortable taking. And the other one that you have a say in is how much you're paying in fees.
Yeah, I've got a problem with this one. I can't control how much my daughter spends, which takes away from my savings, which is my own problem. So no, I'm just joking. But yeah, fees are a big one. Fees are huge. We have a very, what would be called a low fee offering at Canvas Wealth.
Yes.
And it's designed for a reason, because the less you pay in fees, the more you keep, the more you keep, the more you return, the more the compounds, the happier you are. Like that's the way it works, right? But there's been lots of times over the years, people have brought in their statements and they'll show us positions that have things like 2.5% MERs, which is so big. Like, that fund manager has to outperform the market by 2.5% just to get the market's returns every year. So if you were able to reduce those MERs from 2.5% down to, let's say, 0.5% over a period of 30 years, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Step 11, tune out the noise. I think that's step 11.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
it is.
Okay, let's put it this way. If your financial plan changes every time you watch the news, which is what we just talked about, it's not a plan. It's a reaction.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah. So let's just assume that everything you see on the news is just information, entertainment. It's like entertainment advice. Sorry, that's what I was trying to get to. Mm-hmm. It's not actionable advice. So don't react to it.
Right. So turn off BNN, get rid of Reddit. Just trust the process. Your portfolio, it should be based on goals and not on gossip. And I heard a great saying about your investment portfolio. Treat it like a bar of soap. Because the more you handle that bar of soap, the smaller and smaller it gets. So just leave it.
Oh, that's I like that one.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah. Although, you know, hygiene is important.
Yes. I would still say you probably still need some soap. Especially if you're coming out of a 30-day coma. You're going to need to wash up a bit. Okay, step 12.
Step 12. Oh, this is the last one. Work with a fiduciary advisor. Don't do it alone. A fiduciary acts in your best interest, and it's not based on commissions or product quotas. And do we know any fiduciaries, Colin?
Yeah, well, we're fiduciaries.
Yeah.
Canvas Wealth is a fiduciary.
We are.
That's a shameless self-promotion plug. But regardless, doesn't matter who you work with, just make sure that you're working with somebody that literally has to have your best interest first, right? They help you plan, help you build a plan. They help you stick to it. They adjust thoughtfully over time. And there's been, again, more research, and I won't keep quoting where the research comes from. Let's just agree. There's a lot of research out there about the cost of advice, and that working with a fiduciary advisor can add up to something like 3% in annual value through behavioral coaching, tax strategy, portfolio structure, just keeping you invested, et cetera.
Talking you through the hard times, absolutely. And in Canada, fee-for-service or discretionary portfolio management models, they're growing fast. People are seeing the value in this. Mm-hmm. And that's because clients are looking for transparency and trust.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that was a good job of wrapping up those 12 steps of better investing. I would hope that this resonates with investors, in that people do not default to things like the shiny objects, because when the focus is on whatever the shiny object is of the day is when people get off track, right?
Right.
And there's this guy named David Booth. I know you know who he is. The Booth School of Business at the University of Chicago, named after him just because he donated a bunch of money. But he has a saying: it doesn't matter what your strategy is as long as you stick to it.
Right.
So whether or not anybody listening to this agrees with our investment philosophy, that's okay. As long as you have a philosophy and you stick to it, you're probably going to be okay. It's when you deviate from it that things happen, right?
Well, and I often think that it's very important to keep things simple. Because once it starts getting overly complex, number one, you can lose your audience. Number two, you can create doubt or uncertainty. Whereas, I mean, we're making it very clear and we're making it simple. And when things are clear and simple, it's easy to follow.
It's like the In-N-Out burger menu. Would you like a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a double cheeseburger, or French fries?
We went to Peter's the other day.
Yeah.
Love Peter's. $90 for four of us.
Whoa.
Worth it.
Yeah.
And the menu, there's lots of choices. Let's just put it that way. We sat at that speaker for a good 8 minutes. Hats off to the lady that was assisting us with our order, because we were not quick, nor were we efficient.
But that's what I like In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
It's just so simple, right? Anyways, I'm not here to plug In-N-Out Burger, but if you happen to find yourself near one, you should check it out.
Yes. They're just in the States though, right?
Yeah. And not all the States. It's just a very regional thing. Anyways, that's enough of our burger adventures. Thanks for the chat today, Karen.
Yeah, you bet. So what's next? I think we've got another one coming up. We're going to zoom in on a few of these steps and bring in some real life examples from our own practice and maybe even from things that we specifically do with our clients. So
yeah,
if you enjoyed it, hit follow, give us a review.
Yeah,
we love hearing your feedback. What do you want to hear about? What do you want us to dive deeper into? And share it with someone who's stuck.
Absolutely. Why not?
Why not?
All right. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by Canvas Wealth. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to canvaswealth.ca. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast.
Financial planning services are offered through Canvas Wealth. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth Partners, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. Canvas Wealth is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. The information discussed in this show, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy cannot be guaranteed and is subject to change. The opinions expressed in this show are opinions of the individuals and do not represent the opinion of Q Wealth as a firm.